HBO Sports presents.
You guys ready? Let's go!
A legendary program. 11 national championships. 17 Final Fours. The best college basketball team ever.
Let's go out there and play.
A multi-part documentary series following the UConn women's team.
This is why we practice the way we practice. We train the way we train.
UConn, the March to Madness, Wednesdays 10 p.m., starts March 1st, only on HBO.
HBO Sports presents an unscripted documentary series chronicling the 2016-17 season of the University of Connecticut Women's Huskies basketball team. Get an all-access pass as the series spotlights the players and coaches chronicling the hard work and high expectations game by game as they continue their extraordinary run pursuing their fifth consecutive national championship. Don't miss UConn. The March to Madness, Wednesdays at 9 p.m., starting March 1st, only on HBO.
Hey, it's Matt Spiegel. If you or your bed partner have sleep apnea, snoring is likely the worst part of your nightly routine. Once the snoring starts, one of you probably moves to a different room to try and get some sleep alone. CPAP is the first line of therapy for sleep apnea, but studies show about half of the people given a CPAP machine don't even use it. Now, there's a silent, mask-free sleep apnea treatment option, keeping couples together in the same room. It's called Inspire. Inspire is an implantable device that works inside your body with your natural breathing process. It delivers mild stimulation throughout the night to keep your airway open, giving you and your partner the restful sleep you need together. Inspire is FDA approved and currently being offered in over 100 leading medical centers across the country. The freedom to sleep like everyone else is just a click away. Visit InspireSleep.com to learn more, review important safety information, and to find a doctor in Chicago who can help you determine if Inspire is right for you. Go to InspireSleep.com. That's InspireSleep.com.
Voice of the Fan for over 25 years. We couldn't have done it without you, the Score listener. Thank you for 25 great years. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios.
The Score!
Scoreboard update.
And a pleasant good afternoon. It is 1 o'clock. And from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, David Schuster with a scoreboard update. The Wolves are home Saturday night against the defending champions, and the first 5,000 girls receive an American Girl shirt giveaway. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. A busy day in sports already. Let's start with some hockey. The Blackhawks awarded one-year contract extensions to both Michael Roosevelt and Jordan Tutu this morning. Corey Crawford is feeling better today after missing the last game, but Scott Darling will start in goal tomorrow night against Pittsburgh, and Nicholas Yarmolson will miss the remainder of this week with that upper body injury. Also in the NHL, Carolina trades former Hawk Victor Stahlberg to Ottawa for a third-round pick. Football news. Safety Eric Berry gets a six-year, $78 million deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, of which $40 million is guaranteed and a $20 million signing bonus. The Minnesota Vikings are not picking up the option on running back Adrian Peterson's contract, thus he becomes a free agent. The Washington Redskins have placed the franchise tag on quarterback Kirk Cousins, and Mark Trestman has officially been named the head coach with Toronto of the Canadian League. Baseball news, the Washington Nationals signed pitcher Joe Blanton a one-year, $4 million deal. Mets third baseman David Wright is having shoulder problems. His status for the regular season up in the air. Pro basketball, the Bulls go for their fifth straight win against Denver tonight. And College Buckets will have the DePaul-Providence game with the pregame starting at 7:15 this evening. Stay on top of all your Chicago sports news and events by following 670 The Score on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And this scoreboard update brought to you by Neumail Medical Center. Discover the new you, NeumailMedical.com. I'm David Schuster, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk, also the radio home of the world champion Cubs. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I said what I had to say. It is what it is.
A lot of thanks today. Sam Munson was fantastic from ProFootballFocus.com. Bruce Levine out in Arizona. Al Jean, I mean, no big deal. He's only won a Peabody and 8 Emmys and was an original writer on The Simpsons and their current showrunner. He was great. If you missed it on the podcast, check it out at noon. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, Ray Diaz, David Schuster, Mike Florio, and Can't Do It. Spiegel might be back. Or he might not be. I don't know. But Bernstein and Goff are here. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Fingers crossed there for the Watch 670 The Score audience. No, I'm looking forward to Speaks coming back.
I said coming. No.
I'm painting it to, you know, make it awkward.
I got you. So, no, I listen to the show, man. It's fun to stretch your legs solo every once in a while. I heard you doing your thing, and I remember those long, long solo days where you're out there for 4.5 hours.
What's your favorite cereal? Yeah, light them up.
At some casino or something like that, you know, back in the day. So, yeah, man, it's always cool, though, to be in Full Space Command and hang out with you guys a little bit. It's always great to have a partner, don't get me wrong.
No, of course. And
every
once
in a while,
you're
sharpening your sword.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The band, it's, you know, you want to have that tool in the bag.
Yeah.
You want to have that club there for
you. Of course.
So I used to do it all the time.
I love hearing Al Jean and the stories about Homer at the bat. What particularly caught my ear was their lack of awareness of how the whole show actually played, because for the reading, he said the guys weren't there. When they had so many disparate pieces involved, that usually it's really important to workshop some of the jokes to get a read of the room, and not knowing if some of the actual inside baseball references would be funny.
Yeah.
So that's got to be a working without a net and somewhat harrowing to know that that thing's going to air. You get final cut and it's done. You're like, okay, we don't know if it's funny or not.
He was talking later about like the familiarity that they gained, and there's so many people that have been there for so long that they kind of feel comfortable in their process of exporting it and all that. But I thought that was crazy too, that they can just have a guy call in on some sort of secure line and do the cameos over the phone and send him some Simpsons swag and that's it. I'm like, that is an insane way to put together an iconic television show.
There's so many of those that you remember when I'll never forget the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp one was great.
Yep.
And I forgot why he was on, but Elton John was there. Something. The line was, "Oh my goodness, it's Elton John." And he goes, "That's my name." Well, not really.
Show's so smart, man. Like, it's, I don't know. And so the appeal to kids and the range of people on the text line, they're like, "I'm 50, and that was the coolest thing I'd ever heard." And then they're like, "I'm 32, and I really enjoyed that." Like I was talking about with Jay. Somehow The Simpsons appeals to every end of our demo, because it's been on for 3 freaking decades, and they'll do the Moneyball episode, and they'll have the one with Jose Canseco, or they'll have the Stones and the Ramones will sing Happy Birthday to Homer, but then they'll bring in some alternative band and they'll modernize it or whatever. It's just
like Dave Grohl show
right,
up.
Yeah, it's just remarkable what they're able to do. And then he's obviously very anti-Trump and is trying to get some of that in, but you were talking about some of the topical episodes that you liked.
Well, there was the one, my favorite episode, the Gabbo episode, which I just think is from a comedic construction perspective, nearly perfect, as is Homer Goes to Clown College, which is the other one.
Clown College is great, yeah.
You have brought great joy to this old Italian stereotype. Oh, I am. No, I get it. I am. It was.
We should hire you. You get a lot of voices.
But the Apu deportation episode. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch that. I saw that Julie DeCaro retweeted a story about it with a picture. That's when they vote for an anti-immigration bill, and then everyone's dismayed that Apu might have to leave town. Right. That's actually happening.
The one that they know.
It's actually happening. Yeah. I'm reading stories everywhere about what do you mean Jose's got to go? What do you mean? He's just one of us. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's what you voted for.
Yeah. Right.
And that episode.
This humanization of you put a face on it and you think it's
so you actually live with somebody who is affected by it. It changes the way you feel about it. Or the one where the bear invades Springfield. Get rid of the bear. Get rid of the bear. Come on, government people, elected officials, get rid of the bear. And they do. And then the tax bill shows a bear tax. What do you mean bear tax?
You know? No, of course. And it's interesting, too, because I was talking about it with him about pushing the envelope more. The other animated shows have pushed it so much more. But The Simpsons started. Like, people think, oh, The Simpsons is so vanilla and all this. Man, they'll touch on the real issues. They just don't have the restraints or the lack of restraints of a South Park.
I remember finding it on the Tracy Ullman show when I was a kid, watching the Tracy Ullman show for some reason. I'm like, wow, they got a little animated little episode every once in a while. And it was a thing. And then, of course, it became a marketing boom because of Bart Simpson. I remember the transition from Homer being the main, Bart being the main character to Homer becoming the main character for everybody, and when that took place and how it kind of rocked my world as a TV fan.
I was a huge Matt Groening fan before The Simpsons even started. I loved the Life in Hell comics.
Okay, yeah, so I have no ability to go there.
With Bongo the Rabbit, and Akbar and Jeff. I mean, the Matt Groening thing in alternative papers, and when I was, it started when I was in college, right? It was the first year of The Simpsons.
Yeah, well, 80, so this is 20. They're doing production on season 29, so they've got 28 done. So
87, 88.
Yeah, so like when I was in high school and just starting college, Matt Groening was already a thing.
Yeah,
because he was doing sort of a subversive kind of comic that was completely different than anything else anybody had seen.
That's when I was exposed to so much as a young kid. Where you're like, why am I watching Aeon Flux and things like that and Liquid Television?
Aeon Flux is cool.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. As a child, you know, okay, it's on MTV. I'll check it out. And then you're like blown away by how futuristic everything seemed and some of the themes of it. And now,
well, as a Voltron guy, Aeon Flux would be natural for you to get some of the lines like that.
And every time what was the first scene of every show was the fly being caught in between the eyelashes of the person,
like
blinking.
A Venus flytrap.
Yeah, like a Venus flytrap. So yeah, just being on that scene, like, yo, this is cool. Like, so many cool new things were happening, and now, you know, you worry of, I don't say worry, but I don't know what kids today would be watching outside of reality TV. You know, I don't know where kids are going to get that kind of stimulation on that level. I mean, South Park, like, for instance. I hear everybody talk about South Park. I watched South Park for a little bit. Never really had traction with me. I never needed to watch it. Like, I needed to watch certain things when I was a kid. So I wouldn't know where kids were going right now for that kind of, you know, like, close to adulthood stimulation.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thought. I mean, SpongeBob SquarePants was huge for my sisters, but they're not really tackling types of issues. I'm trying to think what it would be. So I was thinking also, like, the Boondocks is one. Like, the Boondocks is genius,
but
man.
But then it got bad.
It
got awful.
They didn't have the creative power behind it to make it last.
It's like your favorite artist being in a 5-record deal with a company, and 2 records in, there's a split.
Yeah.
And you just know that the next 3 records are going to be trash.
Right.
Like the first couple of seasons of Boondocks, you're like, you're sitting there like, I cannot believe they're allowed to do this on television, and I'm loving every second of it. You know, John Witherspoon and everybody and Regina King. And then you turn around and it's just.
I'm trying to think of like an example of what you like post Ice Cube NWA.
But kids don't grow up.
I'm just trying to think because
when there was a
record deal. Hey, yeah, there's a split. And you get to like 100 miles and running.
N-Words for Life was. That was. I remember when that came out and. You know, Don't Matter, Just Don't Bite It. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, like, I didn't think they could go to another level of ridiculousness, but they did. Nah. Yeah, there's certain times where that thing happens and you're
kind of
crushed.
Was that one for the treble, two for the bass?
You're getting crushed by watching it. Like, the last season of Boondocks that I watched, I was like, this ain't it. This is not what I remember. So, and when, do you watch The Simpsons every week?
No. Not anymore.
So I'm saying, like, when's the last time? Like, Saturday Night Live got that bump. Again, Jay is the only person that I know that watched Saturday Night Live every single week before it got, political and big again. And I can't tell you, I can't tell you the last time I watched Saturday Night Live on a weekly basis.
I know that my Twitter feed is going to bring me what I need to see.
Except when The Walking Dead is on, because everything shuts down.
If there's something relevant, if there's something relevant from last night, if there's a clip, if there's a moment, if there's a John Oliver rant, if there's something Samantha Bee said, if there's something that I need to see, I will get enough of a hint from people I trust that I can just punch a button and watch it. But the answer, as far as from my perspective, what kids are watching, YouTube videos. They'll find everything on individual YouTube channels, and a lot of it is, you know, two guys in Australia with a GoPro just grabbing mud crabs out of the mangroves in somewhere in Queensland or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is like great. What do you want? I always ask, what are you watching? Chino Hills basketball highlights
for billions.
You know, it's all about YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I watch most of my interviews and stuff like that. Like, I'm still a little bit of a radio nerd, so I'll just sit there and me and the baby will hang out, and I'll just pop the old phone right next to me and watch 30 minutes or 45 minutes of, you know, Sam Rogers or some of the people that I follow outside of our terrestrial radio. And that's where you go for your info now. I mean, because it's not on television more times than not. A lot of people are texting up Archer. I tried to get into Archer. A lot of friends love Archer. I didn't. Another thing that didn't stick with me for whatever reason.
Tell Ranji to stop texting.
my dudes Rosner. Love Archer, though.
Rosner's a huge Archer
guy. Yeah, my dudes love Archer. So, yeah, there's Family Guy. I think Family Guy lost a little bit of its theme as well. You know?
Oh, definitely. And
American Dad tried.
But Family Guy never had the ambition that other shows have had. That was like a let's get the next laugh. Everything's a bit. And it's funny. There's all sorts of clever stuff, and you'll know there's a couple things you'll laugh at. But there's no unified character development. Everything.
I felt like I was cheating on The Simpsons.
Yeah,
that's
what it was for me.
The Simpsons was the gold standard, man. No pun intended on their color.
That's how I felt with Beastie Boys and Third Base. It was like, why can't you guys like each other? Why are you taking shots? You're both really good.
Yeah, and I didn't even want to go there with Al Jean because I was like, it's just. The Simpsons
the
is
Family
the
Guy stuff?
Yeah, okay. The Family Guy. I was like, why? He's got so many good stories.
What if he had, like, just, he was waiting to riff, like, he's waiting for someone to ask him about
it. I read about it. He wasn't.
Chris Carter.
Cocaine sniffers. Oh, man. NFL news from my old stomping grounds. So Eric Berry got signed, just happened since we've been on the air. Adam Schefter reporting, Jamal Charles released by the Chiefs. So Jamal's out there, man. Jamal, he's so dedicated to football, so unbelievably talented, one of the most naturally talented runners that we've seen.
It's in NFL history.
Yeah. And his yards per carry is right still at the top. Right? Yeah, it's above.
How old is he?
Probably
31.
I think 30.
Yeah. It's sort of like a Matt Forte comp as far as professionalism and dedication.
But those knee injuries, man.
Well, that's the thing. His speed is speed. Yeah. And now this is the third.
Yeah.
Not all reconstructed. Yeah, so he turned 30. Doesn't turn 31 until the end of the season, December.
Yeah, he'll catch on with somebody. A little, you know, running back by committee thing. But he's never going to be the guy that people thought was going to challenge for 2,000 yards every single year.
I got some numbers we'll get into regarding the draft and some of the... This is really a very silly season. The stuff we do with all things draft, when you actually look at what the composition of NFL rosters end up being, that who's actually staffing these positions, who's actually doing these jobs. There are some really eye-opening numbers as to the amount of attention we pay to the draft and how that is or is not reflected by what rosters actually look like.
See, and we didn't talk about this because I wanted to go back 10 years ago since Adrian Peterson got released. He will be an unrestricted free agent, I should say. And take a look at what that draft yielded, and 10 years later, people are talking about what this draft is going to be in terms of how deep it is.
Some of my numbers actually also coincidentally go back 10 years in some of these comparisons.
That's what happens when we don't talk.
Yeah, unbelievable. These things just now, but we're burying the lead. I should have mentioned that I had an intrusion to my It's On from yesterday. I did not think that in the middle of my evening I would be watching a score producer via Periscope. But did you hear what happened last night? Have you talked about it at all?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Last night, and I don't know how this started, I was hip to it because I was just following on Twitter as I was cooking dinner.
I was off Twitter
First of all, Shane Reardon is an absolute piece of work.
I've heard that.
Okay.
I've heard that about Shane.
He is a thing.
As everybody over there gives him the bitter beer face.
All right.
So, and I don't know exactly how it started. Barry Rosner was talking about, you know, he loved Pizza Puffs. Barry is just a complete food illiterate and a total child.
I look forward to meeting him one day.
There's like two things in this world. He's a doll. There's only a couple
things. You'll host with him soon.
He likes Lou Malnati's pizza and he likes Pizza Puffs. And some people outside of Chicago have no idea what a Pizza Puff is. Right?
It's a Pizza Puff.
It's like a hot pocket, a deep fried pastry filled with pizza type things. It's sort of a simulacrum of pizza that arrives horribly hot. And it's like a late night drunk end of evening thing. And Shane must have gotten full of himself as to his ability to consume Pizza Puffs. And Barry laid it down. 30 minutes, 6 Pizza Puffs.
That's ridiculous.
And the full things, not little Totino's pizza rolls. Full blown.
I think
they went down. They got them from Gold Coast Dogs. It was legit Chicago Pizza Puffs, and he periscoped the entire thing while producing the show.
Did he? And he did it.
It was close.
It's like, I mean, the cinnamon just, challenge all of a sudden.
It was close.
So or the milk challenge.
And the best, and Rosner's in the background, and then Rosner comes in, starts peeling off 20s in front of him, and Shane's turning green, looking at that last bite. And I don't know how much he was playing up, but my favorite part of it was near the very end, in the final pizza puff, as he's talking about how he feels, running in the background, completely audible, is one of my hyper enthusiastic Cameron Hughes wine commercials. Like, oh, this wine goes so well with this. I'm explaining the tasting notes of some Cabernet, and you're looking at Shane, and Shane's looking at this chunk of pizza puff, like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. He knew how to make something out of it.
That's amazing. How much money was on the line?
I think Rosner,
$50. But Shane bought all the pizza puffs.
So
himself.
He really only made $16.
So it's a net loss,
pretty much. And it started when
$50
on a day when Maddie and Barry were filling in on afternoons, and wherever they were, of course, Barry tried to get Maddie to do the same thing, and Maddie was like, "No, I'll do this money." And I think he got through four.
Because Matt is an adult,
right?
He also can put food away if motivated. I've seen it, but that was. I mean, six. Come on.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You're trying to kill a guy.
$50 and you had to supply it. Yeah, like, you need an agent.
Yeah, really.
Just fire your agent.
It's an awful deal.
Negotiating ploy.
It's an awful deal. So I guess
Shane's an adult. Like, there's a price where I would try it.
Stock down on Shane Reardon after that. He didn't complete it. He had to spend his own money, and he didn't win the money.
No, he completed it. He won.
I thought you said he didn't.
No,
you
he
said
did. I said it was close.
Oh, some close, but they paid out.
No, he got. He technically. Like, Rosner was in there saying, "I'll give you until," and he said, okay. No. He had it in his mouth. I don't know if he.
It's kind of like Yohan Moncada with the Twinkies, right?
Yeah, but that's just because he wants to. That's not out of dare.
It's a non-advanced palate.
That's just a problem.
I don't know what food someone could dare, that I enjoy enough that someone could dare me to eat. Like a ridiculous amount of, and I can actually
be careful.
Complete.
Don't start this conversation because everybody's listening.
No, I'm saying I don't know which food that is. Yeah, I don't know what, like, I don't love anything enough to damn near kill myself on it.
Or what about something that you love and never feel fills you up?
Well,
like sashimi, for example,
scotch.
But eventually you pass out. But somebody, you can order $75 worth of sashimi and still have to go to a drive-thru after.
Yes.
Pre-engagement loving.
Hell? A weirdo.
I'm weird. Oh, okay. I'm weird.
My bad.
You said something that doesn't fill you up that you love. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but
that
you're not actually consuming.
He was talking about the food.
Yes. If you're doing it the right way.
You're a giver. Yeah, I'm giver. Just saying, all right. I'm just saying. Hey, by the way, this weekend, right?
Yeah, man.
Look at you.
This is it? Wedding Saturday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Why is everybody acting like something bad happened? It's the Bill Burr joke. He's like, it's kind of, you always feel like there's something wrong with your spleen. Like, when two people come together, it's a lovely thing. Awesome, man.
I'm thrilled. I'm excited. To be honest, I am just ready for it to be here and be done.
Because all the planning.
All the planning and the wrench that I threw into it of not being there in the lead up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like just the commuting. And so she'll move here within a week of the wedding and we got a place.
Did you hire a planner?
We have an event.
A day of.
Person. Okay.
A day of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
who, don't take who, anybody's with advice, the event. Man. Just enjoy your day.
I always pass this along.
I know your wife.
It's her job, and she gives the brides and grooms two pieces of critical advice.
Okay, please.
And they are the limiting factor for how much fun people have at your wedding party is how much fun you and your wife are having.
Yeah, enjoy yourself.
You set the tone.
Yeah.
Right. If you are having these people already.
Right. So
partying, if you're enjoying yourself, that sets the tone for everybody. And the other thing that's critical, it is not about the wedding. The day is about the marriage. So some people lose sight of that. Usually brides more than grooms.
Yeah.
But it's not about the wedding. It's about the marriage. So if that is kept in mind, it puts everything in perspective. When something little goes wrong and something will go wrong, something will be amiss, something will be forgotten, some uncle will fall down a flight of stairs.
Right.
But it doesn't matter.
Right. I have been keeping everything in as good a perspective as possible.
Good deal, man.
We don't have a wedding planner, so a lot of that has fallen to her, and so she has been stressed. But mm-hmm. I think we're at the finish line.
Nice.
So I think we're going to enjoy it. And I just keep saying, like, we got a great venue, awesome food, awesome band, and unlimited booze.
Well,
it can't be a bad time. Impossible.
And you'll be giving away two seats right here on 670 this week.
Hey, I'm one of the winners.
Yeah. Some guy shows up in his finest Rashawn Salaam jersey for you.
We're not giving away the destination of the venue.
No, I got you.
But this is in Kansas City, right?
It's in Kansas City. Yeah.
Nice. Yes, which means it costs about a third of what the equivalent would cost here.
Yeah, yes.
You're probably getting a $15,000 band here is probably five.
Right. My sister is getting married in Chicago in July, so my parents are going through that whole process, and so there's been a little bit of price comparison. And
don't.
Yeah, I know.
Don't. Trust
me. Shout out to parents paying for weddings. Where they do that at? That is outstanding.
Well, you had a boy, so
yeah.
No issues for you yet.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. It's
the fact that that's still a thing.
It's a tremendous. Listen, we're forking over a huge percentage of.
No,
it.
No, I'm not trying to give you pockets.
No, I'm just saying. Yes, I agree with you. If you have the means, it is an unbelievable luxury. What do you guys have on the show?
Nothing.
Matt Miller at 2. This is his time of year. We'll talk to him. And one of our favorites, Molly Knight, who is a Dodgers insider, is going to talk to us at 5 about the team about which she's written a book and is still has all of her contacts there with all kinds of cool info about what the Dodgers are doing, because they're right there with the Cubs. That might be your NLCS competitor.
Nice. I'm back tomorrow at 9. Hopefully Spiegel joins me. They're Bernstein and Goff. They're next on the score.
Mike, try to lift your arm.
Can't lift arm or speak at normal rate.
Well, I'm afraid you have a case of acute radiation poisoning, Mr. Socha.
Will I be able to play softball tomorrow?
No, by tomorrow you'll barely be able to breathe.
Baseball will never be the same for Cubs fans. Wait till next year? Nah. Curses? Nope. Lovable losers? Wrong again. Spring training is on. Let's talk about the world champion Chicago Cubs. On the station where you can listen to all 162 games and the postseason.
The Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. No wonder Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim said last week this could be his last season. The guy has to be dizzy from being put in and then knocked out of the NCAA tournament so many times by the so-called bracketologists. A week ago, after losing to Georgia Tech, the Orange were out. Then they beat Duke. Back in. Then Sunday they lost by 20 at Louisville. Whoops, back out, but just barely. In truth, the Syracuse resume is hardly impressive. All four of their important wins are at the Carrier Dome. They've lost to ACC bottom feeders Boston College and Pittsburgh, and to very mediocre Georgetown and not-so-hot Connecticut. Remember, past history is supposed to play no role on Selection Sunday, but of course it does. Boeheim's a pretty crafty guy. Think he might have brought retirement up to make sure the committee doesn't send him to the NIT as a going-away present? If so, smart play. I'm John Feinstein.
Over 3 million businesses use Indeed.com for hiring. 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. By creating the easiest, most effective hiring experience, we help businesses find great new people every day. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Guys, if you're one of the many men dealing with erectile dysfunction, you know the strain that it can put on your relationship. Maybe you've tried some of the pharmaceutical treatments with little success and harsh side effects. Discover the new you with help from the New Male Medical Center with a location near you. They have a 98% success rate in treating ED. 98%. Amazing. Guys of all ages have reclaimed a healthy sex life without any of the harsh side effects of the pills. And if you've been feeling sluggish and kind of foggy and moody, you could have low testosterone, known as low T. New Male can treat that too, providing you with renewed energy and sharpness. And if losing weight is your goal, New Male's all-in-one medical weight loss program could be right for you. Call the experts in men's sexual health, New Male Medical Center, today.
The material handling equipment industry has been around since the dawn of machines, so why not choose the company that's been there from the start? Equipment Depot is the largest independent forklift dealer in the U.S. So whether you're moving products or building, they've got you covered with the leading brands of forklifts and aerial lifts. Their goal is to continue breaking barriers and becoming the company you can't imagine living without. For new and used forklift sales, service, parts, and rental, Equipment Depot is equipped to serve. The best equipment, the best service, guaranteed. 35 locations and online at eqdepot.com.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Close your eyes and give thanks for the many things the universe has given you. The many discounts. Safe driver, multi-car, paperless. You are a richer person for these things. No, seriously, you're richer. Check your wallet.
You're getting deeper and deeper into saving money with Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
This week in music history.
What do you mean?
Justin Bieber was born this week in 1994. That same week, Nirvana played their final ever concert. This week in 1995, the Foo Fighters made their live debut.
It's like this and like that and like this.
Death Row Records boss Suge Knight was sentenced to 9 years in prison for violating his probation this week in 1997.
Limited time.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Windy City Bulls. Get tickets at windycitybulls.com.
Matta, Bata, Cola.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Vaticola. The Wolves are home Saturday night versus the defending champions. The first 5,000 girls receive an American Girl shirt giveaway. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. We start in the NBA. The Bulls, they play at Denver tonight. Tip-off is at 7. Michael Carter-Williams and Paul Zipser are out. Also tonight in the NBA, the Warriors play at Washington in an early one, and Utah travels to the Thunder. In hockey, the Blackhawks have agreed to a one-year extensions with Michael Roosevelt and Jordan Tutu. Nicholas Jarmelson is out for the rest of the week. Corey Crawford is feeling better from his illness, but Scott Darling will start in net tomorrow with Pittsburgh at the UC. AHL, the Wolves are off until Saturday. NFL news, the Vikings will not pick up Adrian Peterson's option for 2017, making him an unrestricted free agent. Eric Berry signs a six-year, $78 million extension to stay in Kansas City, and Washington has placed a franchise tag on Kirk Cousins. Major League Baseball, the Cubs host the Angels this afternoon. Alec Mills will start. Jason Hayward leads off. First pitch at 2:05. The White Sox face the Mariners in Glendale. Both games weather permitting, lots of rain down in Arizona. The Nationals have signed Joe Blatton to a one-year, $4 million deal. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Scott Levy's Rose and Hyundai. Visit RoseandHyundai.com. I'm All Day Matt, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Everyone's favorite trivia game is back. Play Sip, Scratch, Score at Dunkin' Donuts. Enjoy a large hot or iced coffee or an extra large hot coffee and play for a chance to win your Dunkin' favorites. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
The Bernstein and Golf Show.
It's showtime, folks.
On 670 The Score.
Bernstein and Goff with you until 6. Matt Miller at 2. Molly Knight on the Dodgers at 5. It's on at 5:30. And surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. Email us at bernsteinandgoff@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. Streaming is what we do there at 670thescore.com. Texting and sexting at 67011. The text line brought to you by the Grossinger Auto Group. Find over 4,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter, at Bernstein_Goff. He is at Jason1Goff. I am at Dan_Bernstein. There is BernsteinandGoffShow.com for many of your needs as well. We are video streaming. Watch 670thescore.com. We're also on Facebook Live on the Score's Facebook page. The director of that is Brian Gertsch.
All right, there we go. Let's get some thoughts on what's going on. Jack in Morristown. What's up, Jack?
Hi, Mike. Good talk to you.
Yes, Jack. What's up?
Some good suggestions that have been made about timing the game, but they're not changing the game, like keeping the batter in the box. Because if you're going to do that, you got to make the pitchers pitch more quickly, too.
I think you could develop a rule there that would actually add strategy if you wanted to. And the rule would be you only get the throw over once.
Yes,
during an at bat, and that would add strategy to it.
How?
Yeah, the strategy would be you threw over once. Now I'm going to get a big lead on you and steal a base.
Yes, I'm going to walk to second base.
Sports Pope, Chris Christie in the running, huh?
I'm not sure. I think I was just kind of floated, but that is something that you might want to. You might want to think through. I don't think Mike thought that one through about what the actual application
that's awesome
would be.
Millions of dollars. Shout out to America.
America. Our EP is Nick Shepkowski.
I don't think it's a bigger challenge than I thought. Obviously, I knew it was a big challenge, right? You're picking up a sport after 12 years of not playing, so I understood it. And I think part of the challenge in it being so hard is part of why it's so fun.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Tim Tebow, pretend baseball player.
Poor St. Lucie. A lot of people saying, hey. One thing that travels is power, mister, okay. And he's got it.
He's not a baseball player.
I want him to make it so he can fail so we can get over with it. Like, not so he can
so
fail.
Fun. It's such a big challenge. So it's so hard. So and because people. I'm bad at it, it makes it really hard. So but that's people. What makes it so much fun is because I'm really not that good.
I'm not rooting against the guy. He's I'm just fine. The people.
The whole
people.
Idea, the cynical the nature of it. The whole thing.
Yeah, it's weird. Super weird.
Wow. The audio overlord, Chris Tannehill.
Does Rodon have a bullpen?
Yeah, I think his bullpen is set up for tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. Yeah.
He's progressing well.
Good. Yeah, he's going about just... He's doing well according to plan.
Who was that? It's just...
Brett Laurie?
Is someone...
that's what happens when he gets out of alignment.
Right, is someone
I'm
just,
out of alignment!
Is someone being murdered in the Sox clubhouse? Like, what the hell? Run that back, Chris. Let's see that. Let's isolate that. Listen closely.
I think his bullpen is set up for tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. Yeah.
Progressing well. Good.
Yeah, he's going about just... He's doing well according to plan.
Tell you, that's what sounds... Getting out of alignment is really traumatic.
You don't know that's Brett Laurie, though.
Oh, you can tell. That's the horrible, empty feeling of knowing somewhere you could be aligned properly, but you are not. That's what happens. It's just an anguished, primal scream of existential terror and dread that can only be corrected by...
And Dredge.
Oddly, only corrected by Joe Dredge. Arriving with a plate full of fake crab to get your chakras realigned. All right, so let me ask you this question. As we talk about the draft and all of this silliness upon which we're about to embark. September of last year, so we're talking the very beginning of the NFL season. This is before injuries, attrition, before all the phone calls to, what do they call it now, the ready list? Instead of saying guys at car dealerships.
Yeah, the ready list.
It's now called the ready list. You're on the ready list. What are you doing? I'm teaching gym at a middle school. Oh, welcome to the ready list, son. What do you think was the higher number? First and second round picks combined on rosters. Okay. The aggregate of all first and second round picks or undrafted players.
Well, since you phrase it that way, undrafted.
Correct. There were more, only one more, 481 undrafted players last September than the 480 first and second round picks combined. It's usually by the end of the year. We've had some years in the past five where we've had over 30% of the league by the end of the year was undrafted. It's gone up to 30. It's gone up to 31%. It often hovers around a quarter of the league undrafted. They say, okay, well, they're just filling out rosters. They're just there. They're just special teams.
I'd like to think about the economics angle of it as well.
You should.
Because how many first and second round guys come with a high price tag that you no longer need after a couple of years or 3 years into their deal?
But this accounts for them being picked up elsewhere.
Okay,
they're still
in the league. Right.
For the purposes of this, they're still former first or second round picks. So there is.
I'm wondering if there's another layer there for the economics.
There always is. Now let me ask you this: I found this website that covers college sports called HeroSports.com. In the last decade, because I know you have some numbers for us too that we're going to get to. In the last decade, I want to get your estimate. First of all, let me ask you, which single position on the field has the highest percentage, in the last decade, has had the highest percentage of snaps taken by undrafted players?
Oh, man, single position. We had the cornerback conversation yesterday about how you can get yourself a certain body style and maybe put some fundamentals at the foundation of a player, and hopefully he sticks for a long time.
I'll tell you, cornerback is tied with two other positions.
Okay, so
I should say defensive back D-back. As a whole. D-back is tied with two other groups for second place.
Running back?
Running back. Care to put a number on the percentage of all, in 10 years, the percentage of all running back snaps taken by undrafted players.
10 years, percentage. See, I'm going to feel like it's too high, but 37?
24. Okay. A quarter of all snaps of the position. Now, offensive line, defensive back, and receiver all had 17%, which I also think is a relatively high number.
Yeah, offensive line?
Offensive line, defensive back, and receiver, 17% of snaps in the last 10 years have been undrafted players.
So much football out there, though. There's so many football players.
I know.
You got I don't even know if NAIA still exists, but you got what used to be divisions 1 through 3. The guy, hell, didn't the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take Ali Marpet last year, a couple years ago?
Ali Marpet reference.
So he was like a D2 guy or something like that. It took him in the first or second round. So there's so much football being played that nothing would surprise me in terms of where these guys are actually coming from.
A lot of injuries, the number of, and also the understanding of constantly churning your roster. Every Tuesday, knowing the guys are going to come in and say, hey, that guy looks fast and fresh, and maybe he's better than this broken down fifth round pick.
So you say that to say what? The de-emphasizing of what happens in the draft, or
just that a lot of what we're about to read, a lot of what we're about to do has to be tempered by an understanding that no matter what team you care about, in a couple years from now, there's a good chance that a handful of the guys that matter to you have little or nothing to do with what's coming up in the next few weeks.
Oh, no doubt.
Right?
No doubt. Yeah. But the base, the foundation of your squad, you need that pedigree.
I want to grab this call because it just looks too good.
Yeah, yeah.
This is in Montgomery.
Well, it's our guy.
This is Jeff on the score.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good. Say hi to Jason.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jason. How are you, bud?
Good, man.
Congratulations on your baby.
Thank you, buddy. I had some sex.
I got 4 kids, so I know what you're going through.
I have 5 of brutes.
What you got for us, man?
Dan, why you hate on Tim Tebow so much, man?
I'm not hating him. He seems likable as a guy.
Oh, yeah, very likable. I think he's a great role model.
For
the youth.
Why?
Why? Does he ever get in trouble?
Well, most players don't get in trouble.
Well, no, it seems like you hate on the guys more than anything.
I have fun with him because the idea surrounding him, the whole following and all of the football speechifying and the people thinking he was good when he was bad.
The part about him not being good at the sports that he wants to play on a professional level.
What I think is intriguing about him is that he's probably one of the most popular bad professional athletes of all time.
Professional, yeah, but you got to admit he was probably one of the best college football players ever.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Don't hate on him, Dan.
I'm not,
he had nowhere else to go.
I hate that term. I'm not hating on him.
You're jealous of him. Give it to him, Jeff.
I'm jealous.
Well, all right, I'm going to back out now.
Of what would I be jealous?
I don't know, Dan.
Maybe you couldn't play sports. All right, up, Dan. Is that what this is about?
But of what would I be jealous?
Because he's such a good athlete.
But that's not what we're not talking about. How good an athlete he is. We're talking about the.
You don't think that's a good athlete.
We're talking about Jeff. Sports. You don't seem to be understanding. We're talking about what's entertaining about Tim Tebow is that he's kind of a happy, vapid, nice, empty vessel of a guy on whom people like to project things. And the difference and the difference between how good he is at his job and how people feel about him, that's entertaining.
Let's say he makes the roster. What if he makes it, Dan? What if he makes the Mets?
It would be a cynical marketing ploy.
You think so?
Jeff, you don't think a guy that could take off 12 years of not playing a sport and then jump in at the highest level
You understand this is a bit, right?
I mean,
I think he'll make it. I think the guy can make it.
You know this isn't real.
They train in Point St. Lucie, Florida. Like, he's a Florida god.
Right. I mean, it's a bit.
Granderson and David Wright and Yoannis Cespedes' numbers aren't so.
Positive, Dan. Don't get negative, Dan.
Jeff, now it sounds like you're just doing a bit. You don't want to talk. You do understand this is a marketing ploy, right?
No, he's going to make it, Dan.
He's doing
I'll call you back after he makes it.
Okay. He's doing a bit.
I don't think so.
He's not real.
No, Jeff Montgomery has called before with these kind of wingding thoughts.
That's what I think. So he's probably a character.
I don't think so.
It's too easy. Can I grab a call from a Bob?
Stop hating, Dan.
Or should we wait?
No,
I want to get to your numbers. We got to take a break.
No, I mean, it's not really numbers, but looking at the depth of a draft and a guy who is now an unrestricted free agent and him being drafted 10 years ago and looking at that draft, a lot of people think that this draft is as deep as any we've seen in recent memory. I want to go back to the one that he was drafted in, and we'll talk about that.
All right, yeah, let's do that on the other side of a timeout on the score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, you're listening to the number one sports station in Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Brought to you by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, home of America's best warm.
HBO Sports presents.
You guys ready? Let's go!
A legendary program. 11 national championships. 17 Final Fours. The best college basketball team ever.
Let's go out there and play.
A multi-part documentary series following the UConn women's team.
This is why we practice the way we practice. We train the way we train.
UConn, the March to Madness, Wednesdays 10 p.m., starts March 1st, only on HBO.
HBO Sports presents an unscripted documentary series chronicling the 2016-17 season of the University of Connecticut Women's Huskies basketball team. Get an all-access pass as the series spotlights the players and coaches chronicling the hard work and high expectations game by game as they continue their extraordinary run pursuing their fifth consecutive national championship. Don't miss UConn. The March to Madness, Wednesdays at 9 p.m., starting March 1st, only on HBO.
Hiring is a great sign that your business is doing well. And because you're succeeding, it's natural to work with others at the top of their game. As the world's number one job site, Indeed.com has more than 200 million visitors a month and delivers more hires than Monster, Craigslist, and LinkedIn combined. And we can deliver for you. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
This week in music history. This week in 1968, Elton John's first single, I've Been Loving You Too Long, was released and didn't chart. Frankie Lyman was found dead of a suspected drug overdose at age 25 that same week. The CD was launched by Sony, Philips, and PolyGram this week in 1983. This week in 1993, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown became parents when Bobby Christina was born.
Play.it is your new podcast network for top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Jim Rohn.
Holy Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
The industrial strength nation.
Let's get to some news here.
The updates, the scores, lots happening.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
This is the big league.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
This week in music history.
Down to the jail, I'd run.
This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London. This week in 1995, Dusty Springfield died after a long battle with cancer at age 59. MC Hammer became a preacher this week in 2000. This week in 2002, the first episode of The Osbournes TV show aired on MTV. And this week in 2012, Davy Jones, singer with the Monkees, died at age 66 after suffering a massive heart attack. Play.it is your new podcast network for award-winning news programming and number one sports brands to entertainment and business leaders.
Welcome! We're gonna make you laugh, we're gonna make you think.
Give you that news and information.
Pop culture, reality TV.
What's happening in business today?
Relationships, dating.
The biggest names in sports.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
You wanna see something entertaining? Tune in.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Talking about the truth of the NFL draft, and that is it might end up ultimately mattering less than you think. You know, the difference is when you look at most NBA rosters, for example, everybody's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
It's very rare.
I remember that time that the Bulls had five guys starting who were all, like, top 13 or 14 picks when it was Dang and Joe and
Dunleavy.
And Derek. Yeah, yeah. Dunleavy was a third, fourth pick in the draft, something like that.
Himself, yeah. Guys who end up having long careers generally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
you get a Devin George thrown in there every once in a while, but for the
Jimmy
most part.
Jimmy Butler, who mm-hmm. is, you know, it's very.
I'm talking about a small school guy. Remember Devin George was that pick yep. by Phil Jackson. We're like, who the hell is Devin George? I believe end of the first round, went to like a D2 school or something like that. Himself a decent long career, made some money with the Mavs after that as well. But for the most part, like you said, first round guys.
Guys on NBA rosters are generally first round picks. You might not
unless
have heard
you're
of them.
European that gets stashed.
That used to be, but now those guys aren't a secret anymore. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows who these guys are because those leagues are all scouted right now. And you really can only compare basketball and football because baseball and hockey, who knows? It takes so long to develop. You spend so long in the minor leagues that you never know what kind of growth is going to occur physically, mentally, or both, where you can get a guy from the 35th round all of a sudden gets a new pitch. Mm-hmm. And next thing, you know, oh boy, now here's a situational left-hander. We thought he'd be somebody. Or can they convert a catcher to a center fielder, or they convert a right fielder to pitcher. There's just so much that goes on that really the comps are football and basketball, but basketball doesn't have the attrition. They don't have a third of the roster destroyed by the game itself every year. Now, which draft were you looking at here that would help inform the discussion?
Well, let's save it to the top of the hour because I want to let it breathe a little bit. But
Matt Miller actually had to reschedule. He's going to be on a little bit later because he's got some family issues.
Yeah, so it's the end. By that, we mean his family is tired of him watching football as much as he's watching football these days for the combine coming up here. But the 07 draft, because Adrian Peterson is going to be available on the open market. I think Adrian Peterson is going to find out how his value has diminished. I think he has gotten some bad advice, and now he will be there for anybody to have. And you look at some of the numbers that Adrian Peterson has put up over the last 3 years or the lack thereof. You can attribute it to shoddy line play. You could attribute it to him being older. and suffering injuries, but the lean isn't there, the push isn't there, the yards after contact isn't there, which is one of those things where, you know, you talk about yards after contact, yeah, if you're getting hit behind the line of scrimmage, how much are guys leaning? And ProFootballFocus.com documents that, but going back to that 07 draft and comparing it to this draft coming up, because especially where the Bears need things, and that is everywhere, but in that defensive backfield, this draft is extremely deep. I think this draft goes at least 9 deep in corner, at least 5 or 6 deep in safety, and you look back at this 07 draft and the talent that came out of it, it's staggering, especially in the first round.
Here's a Bob in Naperville on the Score.
Hello?
Yes?
You're on, Bob.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fine.
Some of the comments you're making, you know, I think one of the things that kind of amazes me about the NFL doesn't have like a backup area at all for athletes like coming out of high school.
What do you mean a backup area?
Like Major League Baseball, all right? If you don't have the grades to go to college, you can go into the minor leagues. Same thing with hockey,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. I have seen so many unbelievable athletes that are coming out of high school that are, you know.
Now, if they're unbelievable, you know, they find a way. Believe me, schools will find a way.
Well, and I'm talking coming out of high school, and they don't have the grade to go to a major program or even Division III. They just don't have.
Oh, look, no. Believe me,
there's some dudes who can't spell their names.
JUCO will find you. They're literally illiterate kids. There are kids who cannot read who are able to make some kind of college football team. So that's just not true.
Okay, well, I don't want to name a name or anything. He played at Andrean High School.
Look, everybody's got a story. Yeah. But chances are that guy wouldn't have made the NFL anyway.
I'm not talking about making the NFL. I'm talking about
basketball.
Pardon me.
I'm talking about basketball. Sure. We were talking specifically about the NFL and the NFL draft and undrafted players.
No, I'm talking about how the Major League Baseball has. I mean, how many players?
Yeah, but what's your larger point?
Bullpens are full of guys who didn't go to college.
What is this relative to what we were talking about?
I'm talking about how the NFL does not have any kind of a minor league system.
Yeah.
But what does that what does that have to do with what we were discussing?
The fact that there's so many great athletes that come out of high school.
That's not what we were what we were talking about. Were the number of
the jobs that are filled up.
The number of NFL players, the percentage of actual NFL players who were not selected in the NFL draft.
Not guys who couldn't
nothing to do with high
go
school.
To college. Yeah, yeah. Talking about undrafted players.
All right, and all I'm bringing up is that there's a lot of guys that were not drafted through the Major League Draft.
We're not talking about the Major League Draft.
I get that. What I'm saying is, if the NFL had something set up like that...
No, that's not what we're talking. We're not talking about high school. We're talking about players who ended up playing in the NFL despite not being drafted after playing in college.
I think he's talking about the people who fall between the cracks, that if the NFL had a minor league system that wasn't college football, would make it.
No, the guys get found. There's no secrets. Every once in a while, you get a guy like Eric Swan,
right? Semi-pro kind of situation.
They still get found.
Right.
There's none of these anonymous players.
You can get snuck onto any college campus if you've got talent.
Are you kidding?
Have you watched Baylor lately?
Please, come on. This whole thing didn't have the grades. My ass. You'll get a helmet. I don't care if you can't write your name in the ground with a stick. They'll give you a helmet. Please. More on this draft of which Jason speaks after an update on Bernstein and Goff on the Score.
Baseball will never be the same for Cubs fans. Wait till next year? Nah. Curses? Nope. Lovable losers? Wrong again. Spring training is on. Let's talk about the world champion Chicago Cubs. On the station where you can listen to all 162 games and the postseason.
And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
Over 3 million businesses use Indeed.com for hiring. 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. By creating the easiest, most effective hiring experience, we help businesses find great new people every day. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
The better you drive, the more you save. Bears and bats, they live in a cave, but that's irrelevant here. So back to the subject we steer. Snapshot saves you money when you drive safe. I wear corduroy pants. I don't mind that they chafe.
The better you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Hey, it's Matt Spiegel. If you or your bed partner have sleep apnea, snoring is likely the worst part of your nightly routine. Once the snoring starts, one of you probably moves to a different room to try and get some sleep alone. CPAP is the first line of therapy for sleep apnea, but studies show about half of the people given a CPAP machine don't even use it. Now, there's a silent, mask-free sleep apnea treatment option keeping couples together in the same room. It's called Insomnia.